Coughlin.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Tom Coughlin, and I represent Allstate Insurance Company. At this time, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. The issue in this case is whether attorney fees, punitive in nature, awarded against a drunk driver because of a drunk driver's malicious conduct, are insurable. Permitting these damages to become insurable because of the drunk driver's malicious conduct will erode the well-established and carefully reasoned prohibition against insuring malicious conduct. This will also undermine the clear intent of the Ohio General Assembly and public policy objectives to punish and deter malicious conduct on our roadways. It's axiomatic, Your Honors, that punitive damages for malicious conduct are not to be covered by insurance. It logically follows, then, that attorney fees, which this Court has previously determined are punitive in nature, similarly, should not be insurable.
Counsel, sometimes very slow to think through what counsel has just said. You said it's axiomatic that
punitive damages deriving from malicious conduct are not insurable.
And where, from whence does that axiom flow?
Well, it's a legislative enactment that prohibits insurance companies from insuring punitive damages, which are flowing from malicious conduct. Ohio Revised Code Section 3937.182B specifically prohibits auto insurance companies from insuring punitive damages.
Okay,
and so what the argument is if that has been enacted by the Ohio General Assembly, then attorney fees, which this Court has previously held in the Digital and Analog Design Corp decision versus North Supply Company, that those punitive damages or those attorney fees are punitive in nature. And as this Court is well aware, public policy and the intent of the General Assembly has clearly provided that we shouldn't be insuring people from their malicious acts.
Although some attorney fees, there can be fee shifting by contract, for example. What you're saying is not quite as broad as it was stated. I mean, if we take what you just said, you're suggesting that all attorney fees are punitive in nature, and that's not the case.
Thank you for pointing that out, Your Honor. You're absolutely right. What I'm suggesting is that attorney fees, which are punitive in nature and flow from malicious conduct, are not insurable, such as the fees that we have in this particular case. The attorney fees that were awarded in this particular case flow from the drunk driver's malicious conduct. And because of that, the Ohio General Assembly's intent, as well as an abundance of case law through this state, have discouraged any type of insurance, and one should not be able to insure themselves from malicious conduct.
Were there interrogatories submitted to the jury in this case, Mr. Coughlin?
I wasn't trial counsel on the honors, so I don't have a definitive answer for you on that, but I do know that there was an interrogatory submitted as to whether punitive damages are appropriate, and then the Court left it to the jury after that finding of punitive damages to determine whether attorney fees were appropriate.
Is there any indication from the jury that the award of attorney fees in this case was compensatory or punitive? That's what I was trying to explore through the interrogatory phase.
Okay, Your Honor, and you bring up a good point. As this Court is aware, in these automobile accident situations, there's three levels of damages. You have the compensatory damages, which flow from the negligence, clearly insurable. Then if a jury determines that the offender acted with actual malice, demonstrating a conscious disregard for the rights and safeties of others, then and only then do we get to phase two of the damages, which are punitive damages. Then, if the jury makes that determination concerning punitive damages, in the real egregious circumstances, they can also determine that not only do you get punitive damages because your conduct was so egregious, but now we have the ability to award attorney fees against you. Without the finding of actual malice, without the jury finding that that offender acted with actual malice, we never discuss attorney fees.
Counsel,
well, we're beyond that in this case, though, Mr. Coghlan, because we have an award of compensatory, we have an award of punitive, and we have an award of attorney fees. How is it that this court can make an assessment under our case authority that says where there is an award of punitive damages, a jury may award attorney fees as compensatory? How do we determine whether the award here was punitive or compensatory?
Your Honor, I respectfully submit that this court has already done that in the Digital and Analog Design Corp. versus North Supply Company, and I would like to refer the court to page 6 of the opinion, where this court instructed as follows. The award of attorney fees, although seemingly compensatory and treated as such in the model jury instructions, does not compensate the victim for damages flowing from the tort. Rather, the requirement that a party pay attorney fees under these circumstances is a punitive and thus equitable remedy that flows from a jury finding of malice and an award of punitive damages.
So your position is all we need to do here is not write any new law. We simply need to apply the law in digital to this circumstance because the jury has awarded compensatory and punitive. And this award, according to Digital, has already been determined to be punitive.
That's absolutely correct, Your Honor, because in circumstances where the attorney fees arise from the actor's or the offender's malicious conduct, this court has already determined in Digital those in those circumstances, they're punitive in nature.
Yeah, we've also said, haven't we, in Zappo and Zitterelli, that attorney's fees under punitive damage award or compensatory? We use the word compensatory.
You do, Your Honor. And I think I submit that the Zapatelli decision and the court's ruling in that case is entirely consistent with the digital decision. Because in Zapatelli, what this court determined was that if there's a finding of punitive damages, and only if there's a finding of punitive damages, the jury may consider whether an award of attorney fees is appropriate as an element of punitive damages. Or, I'm sorry, as an element of compensatory damages. So it's consistent with what, yes, attorney fees, I'm not here to argue that the attorney fees awarded in this case are not compensatory damages. Clearly, they compensate, as all damages do to some degree, clearly they compensate the plaintiff or the victim. But the nature, and that's what I would urge this court to focus on, the nature of the attorney fees in this case, as this court has previously held in digital, are punitive in nature. They flow from malicious conduct. And that's, as a matter of public policy and the clear intent of the Ohio General Assembly, damages flowing from one's malicious conduct are not insurable, nor should they be.
I guess that takes me to the policy language. As you know, the appellee argues that some insurance companies expressly address this issue. This policy does not, and so we have arguably an ambiguity, fines or penalties under bodily injury. So do we have to say that attorney fees are a penalty under the policy?
Your Honor, I'm actually pleased that you brought that issue up. Yes, attorney fees are not noted in the Allstate policy. The exclusion concerning punitive damages and exemplary damages are. But as this court is aware and the General Assembly has instructed, it's against the law. Even if this policy didn't have punitive damages exclusion in it, the law would prohibit those from being covered. And I respectfully submit that the attorney fee issue, keeping in mind that it follows a finding of punitive damages, that if the policy excludes punitive damages, then it logically makes sense that damages, which are arguably even flowing from more egregious conduct than the punitive damages, shouldn't be covered. And again, I go back to the three levels. You have the damages flowing from the negligence of the offender. They're covered. Then, when the jury finds actual malice has been demonstrated, then they go to the issue of punitive damages, if they determine that. Once they determine that the actor acted with actual malice, then and only then do we get to that third level of damages, which in most cases are more significant than the punitive damages, then and only again do we get that third level concerning attorney fees.
Mr. Coughlin, I know you responded that the jury interrogatories, you weren't sure about those, but do you have any idea if the jury was instructed, as OJI provides, that if they consider punitive damages, they may also consider attorney's fees within that amount?
My understanding is they were instructed pursuant to the OJI instruction, which if you find that the defendant acted with actual malice, you may make an award of attorney fees. Then and only then do you get to the level of, you can make an award of punitive damages. Once and only then you make an award of punitive damages can you then determine whether attorney fees are appropriate. So it goes compensatory. Then if actual malice is present, we get to those other layer of damages, punitive damages, and then finally the last layer, the most significant layer, only in cases where the conduct is the most egregious of all do they award the fees. Because they can award punitives and then decide that there's fees aren't appropriate, but never can they go from compensatory to fees and not give punitives.
So this verdict form that the jury signed, did they have a separate amount for compensatory, separate amount for punitive, and a separate amount for jury fees? Attorney fees.
They had a separate amount for compensatory damages. They had another amount for punitive damages. And then it was given, and then they determined that attorney fees were appropriate. And then it was given back to the trial judge to determine the amount of the attorney fees.
And that calculation, I assume, is based on the entire attorney fees, that is, the total attorney fees for obtaining the compensatory damages as well as the punitive damages.
Yes, that's correct, Your Honor, for the entire severity of the case. And I would submit that in most circumstances, keeping in mind with the enactment limiting punitive damages, that in most circumstances, the tagging on to those attorney fees at the very end of the case, only after actual malice has been demonstrated, are going to be the most severe penalty the offender is imposed. And to shift that burden upon an insurance company who is not the actor demonstrating actual malice would defeat the legislative intent of preventing people from insuring themselves from malicious conduct.
I guess the problem I'm having, counsel, you may have detected, is classifying or describing attorney's fees as a penalty. The punitive damages clearly are a penalty for your conduct, egregious conduct. We penalize people, punitive damages. Somehow attorney fees seem to me to be a different category. They seem to be somehow different. Maybe it's the lawyer in me. I don't know. But it just seems that they are different.
Your Honor,
I don't know if you can respond or not. You've been trying
I would love the opportunity to respond. Yes, they're their own little unique damages, so to speak. And however you want to characterize these, whether they're an element of compensatory damages or an extension of punitive damages, I submit however you want to characterize these is not dispositive. The importance is that they flow from malicious conduct. You only get them from the actor's malicious conduct. And those damages,
only get them if there is malicious conduct, but you get them, I mean, the attorney fees don't change in their amounts based upon the punitive damage award. The punitive damage award is a discrete amount of money that is awarded because of the egregious conduct, but the attorney fees are not determined or awarded or collected without insurance issue based upon egregious conduct. The attorney is going to bill the client the same amount of money regardless of whether they're only compensatory damages or whether they're also punitive damages. Am I accurate in that?
Well, that's correct. But unlike the normal circumstance involving an auto accident where you can never get attorney fees as compensation, unlike those circumstances, they flow not from the tort of negligence. The attorney fees flow from the malicious conduct. And in essence, you're ensuring your malicious behavior. If you let attorney fees in these particular instances, when the fees flow from the malicious conduct and behavior, if you're letting those become insurable, then you're eroding well-established principles that you can't insure yourself from your malicious behavior. And I see that I'm a dummy. I just quote the court to one further quote
up.
From
you can,
Digital.
You can sum up quickly.
Thank you. This court determined on page 7 of the Digital decision that I cited earlier, in view of our determination that attorney fees are punitive in nature, we find it wholly appropriate to treat attorney fees in the same manner as punitive damages with respect to whether such an issue should be presented to the jury. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Coughlin. Mr. Flowers.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Mr. Chief Justice. My name is Paul Flowers. I represent the plaintiff appellee in this case, Kimberly Neal Pettit. I thought I would start off with Chief Justice Moyer's questioning, which really goes to the heart of this appeal, and that is whether these attorney fees can be properly categorized as a penalty. And if they're a penalty, then they fall into a different category where they would not necessarily be insurable. That is a principle they must establish in order to prevail. They have to win on that. Yet that same principle has been rejected time and time and time again by this court.
How do you get around Digital? Do we have to overrule Digital to find that you are entitled to attorney fees?
When I shepherdize Digital, it shows up as overruled. Now, I don't know why so many courts are still citing it, but it was overruled in Zoppo. Zoppo clearly says we don't agree with this part of Digital. That passage he read to you, that passage he read to you that says attorney fees are punitive, they're equitable, that passage is not accompanied by a single citation. This court wrote that without quoting any case from anywhere across the United States. It is directly contrary to the holding of Roberts versus Mason. In paragraph 2 of the syllabus, Roberts versus Mason says very succinctly, attorney fee awards are considered as part of the compensatory damages. I'll quote it.
But if you're not allowed to recover attorney fees in a tort action, and you agree that that's the principle,
correct.
You generally get your third as the standard fee, and the only way you get attorney fees, no matter how you characterize them, compensable, punitive, whatever, is because there was a finding of malice. Why is it not contrary to the public policy statement of the statute that you cannot insure these actions?
It's because the reason we have that you don't get to attorney fees unless punitive damages awards, is just out of respect for the American rule. The American rule says that everybody bears their own attorney fees. But when the defendant has been hit with punitive damages, they're no longer entitled to hide behind the American rule. They don't deserve the benefit of the American rule.
And I don't have a problem with that, but we have the additional issue of, okay, the tortfeasor has to pay the attorney fees, but why does that shift to an insurance company to insure when the statute clearly states it is against public policy to insure a conduct like that?
All right, a couple of points there. They have to cover this because their policy says they will cover this. All right, that's one point. The second point is the statute does not say that attorney fees are uninsurable. The statute says punitive and exemplary damages are unavoidable, uninsurable. So sometimes they're also unavoidable, but here the issue is whether they're uninsurable. And we've conceded that point. Nobody's asking for the $75,000 punitive damage award to be covered in this case. The General Assembly did not go so far as to say in 3937.182B that punitive, exemplary, attorney fees, and litigation expenses are not insurable. They stopped at punitive damages and exemplary damages. And what they are asking this court to do is add those terms to the statute.
Is it your view that attorney fees are compensatory in every case, or can they be punitive?
It's our position that they're compensatory in every case. They're there to compensate the plaintiff for the fact that she had to hire a lawyer and pay a lawyer to establish her bodily injury claim.
But they can never be awarded unless there's a punitive damage award.
Correct. Correct. That's Zapatelli
so
says that very
compensatory
clearly.
Damages flow to the injured party and are assessed against the tortfeasor only if there can be a showing of actual malice or gross negligence or some standard to award exemplary damages.
Correct. And really, the punitive damage award is just the trigger.
Pardon me?
The punitive damage award is just the trigger. Once you have the punitive damage award, the law says, hey, the American rule no longer applies to this defendant. They are going to bear this person's fee because they acted maliciously. It's only a trigger. It doesn't mean that attorney fees somehow become derivative of the punitive award, that they're a part of the punitive award, all the sayings that they put together in their brief. It doesn't mean that. Roberts versus Mason says the opposite. It's part of compensatory. I mean, paragraph 2 of Roberts versus Mason. In such a case, the jury may, in their estimate of compensatory damages, take into consideration and include reasonable fees of counsel employed by the plaintiff in the prosecution of the action. Now Roberts versus Mason was decided in 1859, and just to give the court an idea how long ago this was, I found this intriguing. It's an assault and battery case and a civil action brought about that. And the court points out that in the criminal prosecution of the defendant, he was sentenced to 6 days in the dungeon of the county jail. So we have this case, Roberts versus Mason, that's decided at a time when Ohio apparently had dungeons. It is cited time and time and time again by this court and other courts. Very few principles are so well settled as paragraph 2 of Roberts versus Mason. And they want you to cut into that, to erode it, because they don't want to change their policies. That's their justification for this.
If we accept your interpretation that public policy and the way the statute's written do not exclude attorney fees, and attorney fees, even though awarded and flowing from punitive, are only compensatory to the plaintiff, can an insurance company write in a provision that excludes attorney fees?
Yes. And they often do. I don't know why Allstate doesn't here. I think they want to make very friendly policies and then in court fight about what they really cover. And that gets us down to an important point here, which is we need to think about the average insured reading their policy and looking at it and saying, well, what am I covered here for? What am I not covered for? Maybe you have an insured who's comparing policies. State Farm says explicitly they'll cover me for attorney fees. What's Allstate say? And you can't get that when we define policies through public policy. When the courts step in and say what's covered and what's not covered, there's no way the average insured is going to know that and can anticipate that. They shouldn't have to hire lawyers in order to find out what their motorist insurance policy provides. And it's true. The General Assembly could also step in and say, you know, we're going to amend the statute and we're going to add in a reference to attorney fees and litigation expenses, so those are uninsurable. And I guess everybody would be on notice of that. But it's far better than what they're asking for here, which is an after-the-fact argument of, hey, you know, it may say what it says, but public policy prevents us from giving this to you. So you're on your own with respect to this award of attorney fees.
Should we be, I'll ask Mr. Coughlin this, should we be concerned at all about declaring attorney fees to be exemplary or punitive? I mean, that's the statute, and that's the policy. And now we're being asked to say, well, attorney fees are, he says, flow from punitive conduct. Okay, but it seems to me we have to classify the attorney fees here as punitive or exemplary.
Right.
My concern is about that, if we do that, that definition or declaration being used in future cases in describing the nature of attorney's fees. We've never described them that way, I don't think. Just out of
digital does, but as I said, I just can't believe digital's good law, especially after Zoppo and Zapatelli. Zapatelli is a unanimous decision issued just 2 years ago. Every member of this court signed off on Zapatelli, and it says very clearly, it follows Roberts, these awards are compensatory. Maybe I'm just being obtuse, but I just can't understand how you could describe an award of attorney fees as anything but compensatory. The person is being compensated for the fact that they had to pay a lawyer. And while normally the American
rule... But isn't the flip side of that is the tortfeasor is being punished by having to either dig into their pocket and pay it or their insurer has to pay it. And I guess the question is, who precipitated the malicious behavior that triggered the award of attorney fees? And clearly, it's the tortfeasor.
Right.
So, you know, it's not, gee, I'm looking for compensation for the injured party here. It is. The injured party goes into a lawsuit such as this fully expecting to compensate their attorney out of their award. That's standard operating procedure.
Correct.
It is a windfall to get attorney fees awarded based on the trigger of punitive damages. So, you know, it's not as one-sided as you're making it out to be in the compensatory world.
Yeah, I don't mean to make anything out to be one-sided. We've been arguing a lot about this, so there's definitely two sides to it. I just happen to feel my side is right. But to answer your question, Justice O'Connor, you can take the windfall argument to an extreme. I mean, does the defendant get a windfall because she gets to hide behind the American rule, which was never intended to protect malicious misconduct? She doesn't have to pay for the plaintiff's fees, even though she maliciously caused all those damages because of the American rule. I mean, we say no, there's an exception. In a sense, everything that's awarded by a jury is punishment. You can look at it that way. The negligent driver has to pay for all the damages caused. Is that a penalty? Is that punishment? Same thing with the attorney fees. They have to reimburse the attorney. Is that really a penalty? Is that punishment? And I say no. And Roberts versus Mason and a long line of this court's authorities say no. It says it's part of the compensatory award. We expect people to pay for their own lawyers until it comes to malicious misconduct. And once you have that punitive award, it's just the trigger. It just gets you to that additional element of compensatory award that's traditionally not allowed in Ohio. It's really that simple. There's no, you know, I feel very strongly that if the General Assembly really wanted this, the statute would read differently. I mean, the legislatures are fully aware of the fact that attorney fees are awarded in cases in Ohio, and they could have easily drafted 3937.182B to include that. And same thing with their policies. I mean, there are a lot of insurance companies that exclude out attorney fees and litigation expenses. There's a lot of companies that cover them. And really, we should just expect each of these carriers to say explicitly in their policies which it's going to be.
Was this statute passed before or after Zapatelli and Zuppo? One was passed, Zapatelli was 2007, and the other was 1994.
It's been around for as long as I can remember.
The statute.
It'd have to be before Zapatelli.
And if it was before, didn't they have the digital case as the standard?
I think it might have been before digital.
If digital clearly said it's punitive and you can't get attorney fees in a punitive award as compensatory, then they would have written the statute with that in mind and not had to address attorney fees.
Well, you know, the statute's codifying the common law. I mean, it was always the case that you couldn't insure punitives. I think it came from the courts first, and the statute just codified it. Please don't hold me to that. I'm just going on memory. But digital is an aberration. I mean, I just don't understand how you could. It's directly contrary to Roberts versus Mason. Instead of the attorney fees being compensatory, it says they're punitives, and it doesn't explain how it gets around that. And the court gets back on the right track with both Zuppo and Zapatelli, and that's where we should be today. But unfortunately, we still have a lot of courts and a lot of insurance companies that are adhering to digital.
Counsel, let me ask you another question. How would you respond to the – this is a legal policy argument, I guess, that was raised in one of the briefs. And that is, if attorney fees that are triggered – by a award of punitive damages are allowed to be insured, that will guarantee that every lawsuit includes an allegation, or almost every lawsuit, subject to the certification requirements, will include an allegation of malice, so that it increases the bargaining, at least the bargaining power, and so you've sort of spawned an additional litigation because of that.
Right, yeah. You know, that just strikes me as so far-fetched to think lawyers think that way. And really, you know, if this court agrees with me and insurers see a real danger to covering these attorney fee awards, all they have to do is write them out of their policies. It's really that simple. And everybody who buys these policies will then know whether or not they're covered. So I don't see this catastrophe resulting just because this court affirms the 8th District. I think that would have happened long ago if that was the case. But we have Rule 11. We have Revised Code 2323.51, so the frivolous claims can be addressed properly. I just really don't think there's any fear here. I mean, just to sum up, this is a contractual interpretation case. This is a coverage dispute. We should be looking at the policy, and the policy here just does not exclude attorney fees.
So, Mr. Flowers, based on what you just said, is it necessary for us to really specifically say attorney's fees are compensatory or punitive in a case like this, or can we, can it be finessed just on the basis that the policy itself does not exclude them?
Correct, yeah. I mean, that's what the 8th District said. They just looked at the policy and said, you know, it's a very short decision, and that's all they had to do was look at the policy and say, it covers damages, it doesn't exclude attorney fees, they're covered. And that's all this court really needs to do, I feel. If you want to get into the debate about whether these are penalties or whatnot, then I think Roberts versus Mason and its progeny all control.
As you know, Mr. Coggins' argument to that argument is it's a public policy issue, that the policy, if you don't, you save the policy by looking at the public policy. But it is, and you said there are policies, that insurance policies that do provide coverage. Have they been tested as being in violation of the statute, the public policy statute, do you know, in any case?
I don't know. Not only do I not know, I don't know how you would make that argument with a straight face.
I mean, would bring it, but
I like to think I'm pretty creative in that regard. And, you know, if their policy said we don't cover punitive damages, attorney fees, and litigation expenses, I'm quite sure neither Mr. Bashine nor I would have pursued it any further. But, you know, we saw what it covered. It seemed fairly obvious to us. It was a broadly written policy, and we pursued it. And so far, every judge has agreed with us. And I would urge this court, too, as well.
Well, my question was whether there, if there's a policy that does permit, expressly permits payment.
I see.
Yeah, they've been tested. They've been challenged as being in violation of public policy.
The flip side.
Right.
Yeah, you know, that would be, if a company wanted to cover this to make their policy more advantageous, say, we will cover attorney fees, their position would be, even though they promised that, it's unenforceable. So you get to the situation where insureds might buy this additional coverage, and then it turns out when the time comes for the insurance carrier to pay, they can throw up their hands and say, in the Neil Pettit case, the Supreme Court said public policy prohibits this type of coverage. We don't owe you anything. So if I'm understanding your question correctly, it really does come down to freedom of contract. Should carriers be allowed to include attorney fees, or should they be allowed to exclude it? And I say yes, as long as they do so clearly one way or the other.
Thank you, Mr. Flowers.
Thank you.
Mr. Coghlan, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
Thank you. Very quickly, whether the attorney fees exclusion was in the policy or not, the law would prohibit us from covering those damages regardless. And I submit that the Digital decision and the Zapatelli decision, which was authored by Judge Pfeiffer, are completely consistent. As as the court pointed out in that opinion on page 2, Zapatelli, without a finding of malice and the award of punitive damages, plaintiff cannot justify the award of attorney fees. The attorney fees in this instance are compensatory damages, yet this court has consistently, and all the courts in the state of Ohio have consistently determined, including the Court of Appeals in this case, that they're punitive in nature. They derive from the offender's malicious conduct.
Counsel, the rest of that sentence is, but describing attorney fees as punitive in nature is not the same thing as saying that attorney fees are punitive damages.
Yes, I agree.
And that's what Judge Stewart focused on and, offers also the remedy that if you meant it, you should have put it in the policy. Let me ask you, is punitive defined in this policy? Punitive damages? Do you have
no.
a definition section in the policy?
Yeah, punitive damages are not.
What about compensatory?
Compensatory damages are not defined. It's more goes to the definition of occurrence, which is negligent conduct.
Okay, but the damage, there's no section referencing?
That's correct.
Okay.
And in summation, what I would respectfully submit is if you let these attorney fees become insurable, keeping in mind that they derive and flow from the offender's malicious conduct, in essence, we're letting offenders insure their malicious conduct. The attorney fees, again, follow and extend from the punitive damages. You can never get them in the automobile circumstances case unless you find actual malice and punitive damages.
Thank you, Mr. Coghlan. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. Take a brief recess. All rise.